I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time to go blitzing all around the Beltway. We'll cover the Capitals. We will cover the Wizards. But we'll start you off right now with the Redskins as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny. Chris Russell's our Redskins insider. Before we get to the Skins, Chris, what is the cheapest thing that you regularly do in your life?
I was just told you were going to ask me about this, so I'm completely unprepared. I guess I would say instead of buying really expensive diet soda, i.e. Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, you know, name brand soda, I'll buy the Walmart special like Dr. Diet Thunder or whatever it is.
And Diet
you
Thunder.
You do that? But
yeah,
for money,
I mean,
reasons?
Yeah. For like 79 cents a 2 liter? Absolutely.
That's award-winningly cheap.
Chris Russell's
It's classic Rooster. There's no doubt about it.
I want the name Diet Thunder to get in the repertoire for you in terms of nicknames. Let's do some Redskins business here, my friend. I still think the franchise tag is in play. I disagree with it, by the way, for Kirk Cousins. I think it's a mistake. I think the Redskins are terrified, Russell, of the open market truth. I think that's what this whole thing has always been about. They don't want to be wrong. I still think it's on the table. What do you think?
There's a chance that it's on the table because I never can figure out exactly what the mad scientist Bruce Allen is really thinking over there. All I know is it's probably wrong, whatever he's thinking. I think there's a chance. I think they're actually more empowered. I could be wrong by this, by the open market concept, because they know San Francisco's off the table. They know Sean McVay and the Rams are off the table. They now know Jacksonville and Tom Coughlin are off the table. So I think they're actually more empowered by, hey, you know what? You think you're this good? You think you're worth it? Prove it. Show it. And if you are, then good. See ya. And if you're not, then you'll come back and we can possibly talk about doing a reasonable deal.
Slashy Senior Bowl getting started this week. Craig Hoffman's down there. We'll have him on the show at 1. Josh Allen among the quarterbacks that are going to be there. Everyone's going to be talking about Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph as well. What's your take on Allen? He's polarizing. Didn't play well. Didn't put up numbers, but all the evaluators seem to love him.
Yeah, big kid. He's mobile. He makes some crazy plays with his legs. I think he's raw. I think he's got obviously a lot of mechanical issues and things to work on. I haven't totally broken him down yet, but based on what I've seen, he lacks the accuracy, lacks the polish, lacks the touch. I think there's things you can work with though. And I think every NFL coach system says, look, we can't, if you're 5'10 and you're 185 pounds, we can't do something with you. If you have some of the other prerequisite skills, some of the things we can improve, some of the things we can't work on, size, arm strength, mobility, so on and so forth, we can work and we can improve the other stuff. And I think that's the really intriguing thing about Josh Allen. And, you know, I know some people are kind of surprised by that he's been tied to number one in the Cleveland Browns, but there was a report about a month ago that John Dorsey, now the Browns general manager, did indeed like Allen over Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. And so I'm not that surprised that his star is on the rise. I think it's really good that he's there. Same thing for Baker Mayfield. It shows me a lot about those two individuals.
Thank you, Diet Thunder. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you, guys.
Let's talk Wizards, Tommy. Chase Hughes covers the Wizards for NBC Sports Washington. Chase, maybe another team meeting is in order. Why can't they beat terrible teams? Dallas is a terrible team, now swept the season series. A lot of the same problems.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of different reasons, and I think the biggest reason the Wizards are still kind of searching for, because it keeps happening, it's really an unbelievable trend that has carried into the second half of the season, but the Wizards just don't show up when they're playing some of these lesser teams. And I think, you know, it really started back in November, and I think it's ironic that they got blown out by the Mavericks last night, because early in November, the Mavericks beat them at home, and little did we know that would kind of define their season. And I think some of those losses just get these teams, they come in with a lot more confidence than you usually see from lesser teams against really good teams. The Wizards clearly didn't play a very aggressive style last night. I thought they weren't the instigators. They were settling for a lot of outside shots. You know, Markieff Morris is a power forward, but he shot 4 threes out of his 8 shots. The Mavericks were the more confident bunch. They were the aggressors. They were talking trash. They were playing more physical. And they completely blew the doors off for the Wizards. So it's been a thing all year. You know, obviously they've offered their theories. John Wall said guys are being selfish for stats. But I think it's gotten to the point where these losing teams just come into these matchups with way more confidence than the Wizards do, because the Wizards know in the back of their head that they've let way too many of these games get away from them.
What'd you think about J.J. Barea saying he doesn't think John Wall's teammates like him?
I thought that was a bit of an exaggeration, but I think maybe there's a little bit of truth to it, in the sense that, you know, John Wall did speak about that team meeting and how some guys didn't respond to it well. Well, John Wall was probably one of the guys talking. I think there's probably a lot of finger pointing in the Wizards locker room right now in general. Now, does that say anything about John Wall long term or his leadership abilities? I don't think so. I think right now things aren't going well, and I can't imagine everyone likes everyone in that locker room right now, just with the way things are going. And, you know, maybe some of these comments John Wall has made after some games where he calls people out, maybe there are guys in the locker room who think that, you know, he should be taking more ownership of the blame. I think right now it's just everyone's frustrated, and I don't think J.J. Barea knows something about the Wizards locker room that the rest of us don't. It was probably an exaggeration, but, you know, right now maybe there is someone in that locker room who would say otherwise.
Chase, last one quickly. It's our weekly Markieff Morris what the hell question. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, going back to that stat I said last night, 4 threes out of his 8 shots, only played 26 minutes. You know, earlier this season, Scott Brooks sat him down for a one-on-one film session, and the biggest takeaway out of it was that he was camping out on the three-point line. He's a power forward, but he wasn't playing aggressive. He wasn't attacking the rim. He wasn't playing inside. We saw that last night, so I think that's been a big problem with him lately. He's camping out on the perimeter. He's not going to get rebounds. He's not going to get post touches, which he can be very, very good at. So right now, he's not playing as aggressive as they need him to be.
Thanks much for the time, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Let's talk some puck. Crashing the Net returns to the air on Thursday. Tom Daly, Neil Greenberg bring you Crashing the Net each and every week. Tommy will be in the saddle with a secret guest host this week on Thursday. Neil, is it happening? Is this the regression you've been anticipating based on the metrics, or is this just a hangover? The Caps are 0-3 since the bye week.
It's probably both, but more so what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, right? I mean, this team on paper looks great, 28-15-5, plus 10 goal differential first in the Metro. Underlying metrics, however, say that this is literally the worst team in the NHL, especially when it comes to giving up high danger chances in the slot and the crease, which is not a recipe for success no matter how good you are on the rest of the ice.
Tough stretch coming up as well. Not much forgiving here. Penguins playing better. Vegas back-to-back against Columbus. All of a sudden, some pretty good clubs here. How do the Caps kind of get out of this funk and get back to maybe some of their more fortunate ways here of the last month?
Well, one thing would be to get a little bit more help from Alex Ovechkin from people on the roster. You look at the offense, and he's just literally carrying the team. No one else is doing much of anything. It's hard to remember the last time the top six was littering the score sheet. I mean, typically it's Alex Ovechkin, and then some of the secondary guys like Brett Connolly and Lars Eller helping him out. I don't know, Nicholas Backstrom's not doing much. Evgeny Kuznetsov's not doing much. We've talked about Andrei Burakovsky struggling when he's been in the top six. Jacob Vrana not doing much. I mean, this team looks like they have a load of talent. It's not turning into anything on the ice. And how long do you wait? I mean, we're coming up to the All-Star break soon. I'm not sure that a trade deadline acquisition could necessarily help this team. I'm not sure if they have the assets to pull off an impact trade. I'm not sure what to make of this team, just that their defense is not good and the offense isn't able to compensate. It could be a tough stretch, like you said, over the next couple.
Neil, thank you, pal. Look forward to seeing you at NBC Sports Washington soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon. Have a great weekend.
Check him out in the Washington Post. Neil Greenberg on the Caps and all things D.C. and national sports from the numbers and analytics perspective. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Next, who's more important to the Patriots' success, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? Grant and Danny, welcome back. Much appreciate you listening to the show. You're locked into the Fan. We're on Twitter. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
I am at Funny Danny.
A lot of people have been talking last 24 hours since the game. And they've been talking about AFC Championship winning New England Patriots, and Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. And he is absolutely in that conversation. And whether you agree or disagree that he's the greatest of all time, you have to admit that is a discussion that needs to be had.
Absolutely. Worst case, he's what, third?
Right. I go Peyton Manning over him, but we could disagree on that. What I am curious about, though, is the updated temperature of NFL fans and the updated temperature right now of plugged-in people who have followed the National Football League dating back to 2001 on Bill Belichick. And so here is the question I've come up with to kind of figure out how people are feeling about the Pats. And I just posted a poll at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. Who do you think is more responsible for the 17 years of dominance for the New England Patriots if you had to choose between the quarterback, Tom Brady, or the head coach and the VP of football ops that runs the entire outfield, Bill Belichick? The other reason I bring this up, Danny, is we've got these rumblings that there's some trouble in paradise, that Brady and Belichick have been at odds this season, more so than in the past. That Belichick ran his personal trainer and his confidant and all things his body, Alex Guerrero, out of the building.
Yeah.
So now, that's Brady's business partner. He's upset with Belichick, and their intermediary in a lot of ways has been Josh McDaniels, and he's leaving. But there is a report from ESPN and a detailed big story from Seth Wickersham, who wrote the great McLuhan piece years ago and is an outstanding writer and investigative journalist, where he talked to so many people with the organization that the assessment is this is the end of the road potentially for Robert Kraft as the owner with Brady as the quarterback and Belichick as the coach, that that triumvirate may not be back together next year, and that if they are, that this is the end of the road of them opting in when their contracts are up and that they basically are going to want to go their separate ways and that things are getting ugly behind the scenes between all of them. So here is the question I've got for people. And Danny, I want to get your take, and we can hit the phones hard on this. Do a little poll, if you will, an instant poll on the phones at 800-636-1067 with the first 12 or 15 in or something like that. Who is more responsible for the 17-year run the Patriots have had? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? I'll present the case first for Belichick, then I want you to present a case for Brady, and then we'll give our answers. I think the case for Belichick would be, first and foremost, that when Tom Brady has not been around, has been hurt, has not been on the field, they've still won. Bill Belichick makes players better than they are on all sides of the ball. When Tom Brady went down in week one, they still went 11-5 over the course of a regular season. Think about how impressive 11 wins is.
Matt Castle.
The Redskins haven't won 11 games since I was in diapers.
Since 1991.
Not one time since I was 2.5 years old. Think about that for a second. They did it with Matt Castle at quarterback. And whether it was Castle or it was Brian Hoyer or it was Ryan Mallett, you know, all of the guys who have been backups and played very limitedly in garbage time have looked good enough. Jacoby Brissett. That one player after another, they leave New England, go somewhere else, and are basically proven to have been just guys who thrived because New England is such a great situation. The first non-story like that might be Jimmy Garoppolo. And we have a 5-game sample at this point, but he looks like
he turns out really well, the real deal.
Look at receivers like Troy Brown, Deion Branch. Look at running backs like James White and Deion Lewis. The also-ran types like Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman. The design for New England, the culture for New England makes all these players better. I'd say the same thing on defense. With some of the players over there, Roman Pfeiffer and Adelius Thomas, who comes there, and these guys that become larger-than-life figures there, like Mike Vrabel's a great example
of this.
I'm trying to think of the name of the defensive lineman who was such a random nobody, but there he was so good. I think his dad was famous football player.
Well, they've done it a million times
Absolutely.
Over. Guys that no one else wanted. Alan Branch all of a sudden is a linchpin, a cast-off. They always do it. They trade away guys in the height of their primes, like Richard Seymour, for future draft picks, and they still keep on chugging.
Belichick over Brady for that reason, I would say. That when they haven't had Brady, they've kind of kept on ticking. And I just think he is the best coach we've ever seen.
Brady's done it with, as you already touched on, years where they've got great receivers. Don't have receivers, tight ends, don't have tight ends, different running backs, different offensive linemen, different, you know, a couple different schemes, although now they've gotten pretty secure in what they've done, but early on grew into that role, led countless comebacks, made incredible throws and clutch plays and all those different other metrics that would have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And the remarkable thing about him isn't the greatness. The greatness, we've seen greatness. We've seen greatness, guys like Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana. The incredible thing is the longevity, is the sustained greatness. I don't know whether it's because he doesn't eat tomatoes and it's only avocados and a certain kind of water that's got a certain kind of electrolytes in it, because he's got pliability, whatever the hell it is. The fact that he's played at this high of a level for this long is what's truly remarkable about it.
How many Super Bowls would they have if Belichick was around this whole time and Brady wasn't?
And it wasn't Brady, and it was the Joe Gibbs thing we had to deal with random quarterbacks.
Because they would have a
few. I think they'd have a couple. I think they'd probably have a couple.
I would bet a lot of money they'd have at least three. Would they have five? I don't think so. I mean, the first time they won the Super Bowl, Brady was not all that special or impactful, to use a McLuhan phrase. But they win that Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe. Remember, he came into a playoff game and had to win them a playoff game that year and did so very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a Super Bowl they absolutely would have had, in my opinion. They may have, who knows, not that Brady was the reason they didn't, but they got to and lost two Super Bowls. Maybe you just have a guy have a hot game. They may have won one that they lost anyway.
Sure.
They definitely would have three. Would they have five? Probably not. But Belichick would be a multi-time champion without Tom Brady. If Tom Brady was playing in a different city, how many Super Bowls would he have?
That's another question. He'd probably be in the mere mortal category of like a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers.
Have
or somebody
one
else.
Or two
you
or
get,
three.
You get a couple, like if your team is healthy and you build it that way. Which is why, by the way, my answer is Bill Belichick. Because that, to me, is what's most impressive about all of this. Is as the league has turned over a million times, teams have been, since 2001, think about the number of teams that are good right now. Every team, maybe with the exception of Pittsburgh, and even Pittsburgh has had a couple crappy years. Every team has been good or bad or good or bad, has gone multiple undulations. The Patriots have a 9-7 season in 2002. That's the worst it's been. And it's because of Belichick. It's because no matter where you came from, no matter how you got there, you're there and there's a Patriot way, you fit into the system, or you're gone. He can take locker room cancers, turn them into the guys that are workmanlike. And you're miserable if you're Randy Moss, because you're not allowed to express yourself. You still put up 20 touchdowns in a season for the greatest offense ever assembled. Corey Dillon, a malcontent, not while he was there, leads the team in rushing. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Stephen Ridley. Doesn't matter who they have, where they have them,
right.
They are plugged and played and are Patriots and are excellent.
So we're both Team Belichick. I want a case made from someone who wants to go Tom Brady next on the phones. I'm sure there are a lot of you out there. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I'm actually really surprised by the polling on this so far. 300 votes in on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
64% of you are saying Bill Belichick. Only 36% are saying Tom Brady.
Yeah, I voted Belichick.
Grant and Danny, who's been more responsible for the last 17 years of wins and Super Bowls for the Patriots? That is the question on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Hit us up on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, if you'd like to participate in this here show and you can't give us a shout. Coming up in 10 minutes, an update on Jeannie Bouchard and our friend who was brave enough to once ask her on a date. They went on a date. It's happening. They've been on many dates. They are going to the Super Bowl together. We just can't believe it. It's the best news of the day, and we will give you the full details. Speaking of the Super Bowl, the Patriots are back because, well, Bowl's being played, and so they got to be involved there.
Yeah, it's the end of the season, so the Patriots are playing. What is it? How many is that in a row?
Super Bowls?
Have they?
No, it's only two because the Broncos won
the
season
right.
before
that. That's right. Yeah, so whatever it is, it's seven straight AFC title games.
And, which is insane.
Yeah, and then the majority.
Brady's been in a dozen AFC title games. Think about that.
Again, it's infuriating.
Who
They're
is
so
more
good.
Responsible for the 17-year dominance over the National Football League, the Patriots, are flexing their muscles at right now? Who do you give the credit to? If you got to choose between Belichick, the coach, Brady, the quarterback, 453 votes on Twitter right now, at Grant H. Paulson. 65% of you are saying Belichick, 35% are saying Brady. Danny and I both went with the coach, not the passer. Kevin in Arlington disagrees. What's up, Kevin?
Kevin.
Hey, guys. I look at Tom Brady in defeat in AFC Championship games. The one in 2006 in Indianapolis. The one in 2016 in Denver. And he's still got his team on the verge of almost winning. The guy never plays bad in big games. He never costs his team. He always gives his team a chance to win. I've never seen anything like it. You can't cite me one game. There was maybe a Baltimore game in 2009 where they went up to Foxborough and the Patriots were flat. But, I mean, other than that, the guy wins like no one else.
Real quick. When you say his team is always in the game, meaning like they've got a chance, is that your threshold?
Well, no. They got more than a chance. I mean, they're right there. I mean, consider the Super Bowl losses where at the end of the fourth quarter, they're right there, but then something magical for the other team happens to take it away from them.
So, I could point to plenty of games where he hasn't been good, but his team is right there. See what I'm saying? Like, for example, against Denver a couple years ago when they lost, he was 27 for 56 with a couple interceptions and had a 55 quarterback rating in the game. That's not playing well.
Tag me in. In 2001, by the way, he got hurt in one of those playoff games. Drew Bledsoe had to come in and win the game. But he threw for 115 yards and completed 12 passes in the AFC Championship game. Mark Brunell called. He wants his line back. In the Super Bowl that year, he threw for 145 yards and a touchdown to beat the Rams. It was a fine performance. They went on a nice drive, a bunch of dink and dunk passes, and he matriculated the football, and I'm not taking it away from him, but it worked. It was successful. They kicked the game-winning field goal. There was nothing overly impressive about what he did that year. That's one of the rings that we talk about.
So he was bad against the Ravens in an AFC title game, had a terrible game where he, again, was right around 50% completion, quarterback rating of 62 when they lost by a couple touchdowns.
He had a three-interception game against the Chargers that they won in 2006, right before the Colts game that guy was just talking
about. And so we're citing examples here. This is because when you're talking about the greatest, this is what you have to do. Because he's on the Mount Rushmore. Nobody's kicking him off. This is one of the greatest players ever to play the game in any position. He is a superstar, first ballot Hall of Famer, Pantheon player. When you start to do nitpicking stuff, though, that's what you have to do when you're comparing either the greatest coach of all time or, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time, who's more valuable. You have to start to do these kinds of things, get down into the nitty-gritty. And you and I have argued forever that there are plenty of games where he's played great and probably deserved a Super Bowl where they didn't win. Games he's played poorly and they have won. So if you just go five rings, greatest, well, then you lack nuance.
Let's go to Gavin in Ashburn. What's up, Gavin?
Hey, Gavin.
Gavin, you're on the radio.
How you
go
doing?
Ahead.
Hey, Gavin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I say Brady, and the reason is because the year he got that he took over as a starter, they were 0-2. He took over, went 11-3, won the Super Bowl. The year before that, with the same team, they were 5-11. So if you're going to credit Belichick with that 11-5 year, you also have to look at the Cleveland years where he didn't have Brady, the year before where he didn't have Brady, and they stunk up the joint. And on top of that, the year that Brady blew his ACL, the year before they went 18-1 and were 34 seconds away from being undefeated.
Right.
Next year, 11-5, that's a 7-game drop-off.
True.
I mean, that's with the same team, a loaded team. And Castle only beat, I believe, two winning teams that year.
Yeah, I would say that the year before that was completely unsustainable, and he threw 50 touchdowns, and Moss had 18, and kind of everything that could go right would. And even if Brady was their quarterback, they wouldn't have had that year. They would have gone 13-3 or 12-4 or something like that. But your point's well taken. I think the better point is the first time that we saw Belichick, and it wasn't New England. I would point a lot of guys, the first job, the first time around, aren't the same. Belichick wasn't Belichick yet, but how much of Tom Brady has allowed him to become Belichick?
Two things. One, he had an 11-5 season in Cleveland. Show me someone else that's done that. That's Belichick. Second thing is,
he was really actually good coach in Cleveland.
I think it's a good point in general, but there is a drop-off, and it's a good call that he made. But here's how I would dispute it. He had to say it in there. It's a stacked team. Belichick stacked the team. Belichick's the guy that has them able to withstand no matter what happens, no matter what adversity happens. They lost their best defensive player this year. Their defense got better from week five on. That's what's always been amazing about them. They've competed with only one person in the same spot for more than a handful of years. Everybody has turned over. Belichick always finds the right guy.
Chris, DC, you're on the fan. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, fellas? Without any doubt, I'm glad everyone started respecting coaching, but it's definitely Belichick the whole entire way. The reason why I give it to him, because he wins with different styles. I mean, his first three Super Bowls, Tom Brady, don't get me wrong, he was a quarterback, but, you know, all the stars were on the defense. You know, Richard Seymour, you know, Ty Law, Shanti Samuels. And then, of course, we all know Brady became Brady is when Randy Moss and Wes Walker came there. Then he switched the styles up again. Then once again, when they left, you know, he went to tight end heavy with the, you know, Gronk and the late
great point, Chris.
So his styles and how he changes and adapts over the years, and he changed the teams. And as far as the personnel goes, it's about him. Coaching always trumps to me. Great coaching always trumps great quarterback play to me. Thank you, fellas.
Yeah, and thanks, Brady, man. To Chris's point, and I think it's correct, early on his point is he's kind of a handed-off manager. Mm-hmm. Then he took flight and became one of the best passers in the league for a handful of years, and that started when the weapons around him. People say all the time, well, Brady didn't have great weapons. Yeah, he also didn't have great numbers. He was also just kind of a, I'll go out there and throw for 215, 220, and put up a touchdown or two here or there. When he started to become, oh my gosh, Tom Brady's got numbers the same as Peyton Manning. It's when he's throwing to Randy Moss and has better weapons. And now he's right. It's very tight end heavy. It's a lot of Gronk. It's a lot of before Aaron Hernandez became a murderer.
Well, sure. But
I was Aaron Hernandez.
Great point, though, by Chris, in that they've reinvented who they were and moved a bunch of times over. That's
Chris,
totally
what's
right.
Up?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good, man.
Good.
Good. It's Belichick all the way. You know, when perfect example, like Michael Irvin said at the last year when Tom Brady missed four games at the beginning of the season for a suspension, they went 3-1 with two quarterbacks. And Michael Irvin goes, hey, don't call it Lombardi Trophy, call it the Belichick Trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then quarterbacks, by the way, you're talking about guys like Jacoby Brissett, who this year with Indianapolis, I think we kind of figured out.
Did you get wowed?
They might be picking a quarterback in the top five if Andrew Luck's not healthy.
Man.
Right? I mean, that's kind of where we are. And obviously Jimmy Garoppolo played before he got hurt as well.
I gave Brissett some credit for being courageous and getting hit a bunch of times and making some plays when there wasn't much there. But are you ready to build a franchise around him? I'm not.
Ask the Colts. Bet you the answer is no.
How about no?
Jeannie Bouchard's going to the Super Bowl. Yep. That in and of itself is not a story, although maybe it should be. She is taking the dude with her that she's gone on dates with who's just one of us who's random. More on this. A developing story next on Grant and Danny.
EMP 180 weight loss. Grant, EMP 180 weight loss. I have lost over 40 pounds. You have lost over 70 pounds. We are keeping the weight off. We know what to do thanks to EMP 180. These guys are the best. You got to consult them.
Consult them means go into the office. One in Tyson's Corner, one in Rockville, whichever is more convenient for you. After you call them up, get yourself an appointment. They're going to throw you on a scale. They're going to tell you your weight. The weight, the number, not all that important. What is important is the body composition. Percentage of body fat, visceral fat, that's bad fat around your organs. Percentage of body muscle. You'll get some good news as well, probably more than you'd anticipate, to be honest with you. And then they're going to put you on a little bit of a program. They're going to lay out in front of you exactly what you need to do to get to their graduation desired goals for you. Tell you how long it's going to be, how much it's going to cost. Go in and get this consultation. This is a no-brainer. It could change your life like it changed mine, like it changed Danny's. 855-888-0180. 855-888-0180 or go to emp180weightloss.com. If you were worried that our Jeannie Bouchard, John Gerke romance was over forever, don't be. They will end up married with many children, and they will end up happily ever after. That is the quest for all of us here at the Grant and Danny Radio Show. Super Bowl is bringing Jeannie Bouchard and John Gerke together again.
John Gerke.
Gerke, you may remember, is the silly goose who tweeted at Jeannie Bouchard Super Bowl Sunday last year. She said, I knew the Falcons were going to beat the Patriots. I just knew it. 28-3 score. Gerke, shoot your shot, dude. Sends her a tweet and says, if the Patriots come back and win, you have to go on a date with me. She responds, fine. For those of you who don't remember, Jeannie Bouchard is the tennis player who is the stunningly gorgeous and beautiful female who right now is one of the, I would say, hottest. I don't mean in terms of looks. I mean one of the most popular, prevalent social media female celebrities in athletics.
Is she – how good is she at tennis? You know, is it like
that's
an Anna Kournikova thing?
That's a Pete Manhurst question. She lost in the second round of the Australian Open last week 6-2, 6-2 to the favorite. So she had no chance against that person. I don't get the sense that she's winning a whole lot of tournaments. I also don't know if she's supposed to be one of the best in the world. I'm over my skis here. I have no idea.
Yeah, so the point is, she's got you know, 1.6 million followers, despite not being that good at tennis. Her sister also is just gorgeous as well. That Dar just turned me on to.
I didn't know this Beatrice Bouchard situation until today, but she's added a new follower on Instagram.
Yeah, she just throwing fastballs. Comes out of the bullpen throwing 106. Good luck hitting it.
You know who she loves is the Montreal Canadiens, apparently. Mm. But how are they sisters, by the way? How is that allowed? You know what I mean? Like,
that's kind of
why is one family so good looking? And I'm pretty sure they have other sisters. I can't like figure out all the details.
Just an army of uber attractive human beings.
What are we doing here? But what you need to know is Jeannie Bouchard, who let's just say for the sake of the discussion is one of the hottest 10 females on the planet, responds to John Gerke saying, yeah, I'll go on a date with you if the Patriots come back and win this game. They're not going to win. You know what happened? The Patriots came back and won. So then her and John Gerke go on a date, and they are seen going to an NBA game, and she's posting pictures on social media. Well, everyone said, oh, that was a cool thing, really neat. She's just, you know, letting everyone know she followed through. They'll never hang out again. Still a great story. They hung out a second time. They went to another game. They hung out a third time, by the way, where there were pictures of them on a beach together that she didn't take, that she didn't post. This was not
taken.
Hey, look at me. I'm with this guy again. This was a no social media talk about us being together again. Me and this dude are just going to go to a beach. I'll be in a bikini. He'll be in a bathing suit. We'll be laying on the beach and, like, getting some sun.
She's almost too pretty.
She is. But I need to go back to the point of the story, which is
I'm just,
if they
I'm looking
keep
at pictures,
hanging
I'm
out, Danny.
Yeah, I know.
Follow me. Get
You're
with
right.
me here.
I stared.
Leave your computer screen.
I was staring at pictures of
they
her.
Keep hanging out.
I'm changing windows.
Remember when they hung out at her house and she tweeted out a picture of them laying on her couch and she was in her, like, comfortable, it's 8 p.m. at night, I'm just in for the evening, kind of yoga pants and sweatshirt outfit with no makeup?
Makeup, yeah.
Remember that? And he's just laying there like, yep, it's me again, John Gerke. Just
John
a random guy.
John Gerke.
The biggest upset in the history of the world. This is one of the great accomplishments in modern civilization is that he is, I can't say dating her, but going on dates with her. There's a chance that he's kissed her at some point. We really don't know exactly what's going on, but I know he's laid on her couch. I know that he's watched a movie with her at her home.
We don't know if there's been affection. We don't know very much at all.
Have you ever gone to Miami with anyone overnight to a beach not to have had any romantic moments?
I've done that with dudes, so the answer is no, I've never done that.
Okay.
I have done that? Wait, no, I haven't. I got confused with the question.
Let me rephrase the question because I think you're making it too difficult.
I went to a bachelor party in Miami.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about.
Someone of the opposite sex who you've been seen hanging out with
go
overnight to Miami.
That's never happened.
And you're hanging out on a beach together.
Yeah, that's not happened.
And you're just going to what? Talk about being in Miami?
Isn't it so much fun?
Maybe they got two rooms, I guess. Bet they didn't. Bet they didn't. Danny's a good-looking guy. I'll bet they didn't. Maybe they're a couple.
He's like a regular human good-looking. You know what I mean? He's not like one of the dudes that like...
Correct.
He's not like a supermodel kind of guy.
Let
he's
me
like
make
a regular
this
good-looking
sense.
Dude.
Ladies listening right now to the Grant and Danny Radio Show. First of all, thank you.
Thank you so much.
If your best girlfriend said, hey, met a guy yesterday, thinking about going out with him, and sent you a picture of this guy, you would respond and be like, oh, he's cute. I don't think you'd stop what you're doing and text her and be like, oh my gosh, he's amazing. But you would on a binary, attractive, not attractive, for my girl, you would say, yeah, you should go on a date with him. He's good looking if he's a nice guy. Something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the point of talking about this right now. NFL Canada tweeted yesterday at Jeannie Bouchard and this guy, John Gerke, and they said, hey, and they tweeted at both of them,
hey,
would you like to be our guest to Super Bowl 52? Jeannie responds, OMG, let's go back to where it all began. And with the Patriots too, I'm in. What do you say? John's Twitter handle. He responds, this keeps getting better. I'm in. With a winky emoji and his tongue out, Danny.
The old winky tongue out emoji combo.
That has to mean something, right?
I don't speak emoji. I don't really know
Are
what it means.
Are you putting a winky-faced emoji with a tongue out if you're just going as friends?
Now, I'm a grown-up, so I don't use emojis. People like to tweet me an emoji where a small face is crying a lot. I don't really respond to that. But this seems to be what the kids are doing. Does that mean he's very excited about it?
He, by the way, his background, his Twitter avatar is him kissing Jeannie Bouchard on the cheek.
Look at this guy.
Now, it's on the cheek, which you could belittle him for, I guess, because that's like a friend zone kiss.
I don't care.
But also, while he was kissing her on the cheek, I bet she smelled great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet it was like a fun time for
you
him.
You know who's not kissing Jeannie Bouchard on the cheek? Me.
Nobody
Dar.
Else. Well, Dar maybe me. Anybody.
Drab T-shirt's not doing it. Brock isn't doing it.
Also, if he was kissing her or something, I don't know that she's they're publicizing their relationship. I don't think he's going to post that picture. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you have to publish the other one just to kind of keep the mystery out there. But they will be together at the Super Bowl. Let me just say this and declare this now.
Okay.
If they make the rounds on Radio Row in the first of 5 years when we're not at the Super Bowl, I'm going to be furious.
I'm going to be Rick Tockett.
It's a long story as to why we're not going to the Super Bowl. Just know it's not our decision,
right.
And really it's no one's decision that is in this building probably.
Yeah, some adult somewhere said nope.
They just decided we weren't going to the Super Bowl.
Especially not Grant and Danny.
It's a lot of shows around the country that are not going. But that said, if they do the Radio Row rounds and they're just sitting down talking to people and we could have met Jeannie Bouchard and John Gerke as a couple together and asked all the questions we have about their relationship.
I just would have sat there with my head in my hands and be like, so, how is it with you guys? You know what I mean? I would have been so inspired.
I would have had so many questions for them.
I'd have been more awkward maybe with them than I was with Christine Leahy.
No, you wouldn't have been that awkward.
You think I'd have been as awkward as I was with Brooklyn Decker?
Yeah, you would have been that little level more awkward than that. I'd have a few questions for him.
But they wouldn't be able to answer them.
It depends what I ask.
Like, have you ever held hands? You'd ask that.
I would ask that. How about I?
What kind of chapstick does he use? That kind of stuff.
Good you know question.
I mean? Does he have a toothbrush at your house?
Right.
That sort of stuff.
Things like that. Keep it casual. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but as a way to infer the greater truth. Again, mm-hmm. He's a hero. This is a hero.
Go do God's work, sir. We are all with you. We are all John Gerke. We need you. We want you on that wall. You're playing for all of us.
She is mesmerizing.
She's the best. She's the best. And her sister is also very lovely, it seems like. Dar, get Jeannie Bouchard on the show, please. Can you just do that already?
Just go ahead and book her real quick.
Actually, get on the mic real quick. What are you waiting for right now to get Jeannie Bouchard on the show? That would be my question for Dar.
Probably a response from her publicist.
Okay. That's a good answer.
She's like, why would we do that?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to talk tennis? Yeah, as far as you know.
Dude, just see what you can do. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe we could tape it. Maybe we could do a bit where we taped it and asked her like 7 tennis questions. And then just edited the pants off that.
I think we should get her on the show.
I won't put this podcast up.
I should yell at Danny to do his Yoda impression for her.
Do it now!
Do it! Do it now! Me like you, I think. What do you say about that?
Oh, please don't.
And then we see if she plays along a little
please
bit.
Please don't. It'd be terrible. It'd be awkward. I ran out of things to say to, what's her name again?
Kate Hudson.
Brooklyn Decker. No, well, her too.
Kate Hudson.
No, Kate Hudson's Upton. The actress. Kate Upton.
Kate Upton. Who's Kate Hudson?
Kate Hudson's Goldie Hawn's daughter. Really good actress.
I like Kate
Do
Hudson.
It now.
Do it.
Yeah, that.
Kate Upton.
I ran out of things to say to Kate Upton after 18 seconds.
What do you say to Kate Upton?
I don't know.
I mean, no offense to Kate Upton, but.
But some offense to Kate Upton.
Is she interesting? I don't think she is. Jeannie Bouchard is so interesting.
Do it now.
Do it.
Jeannie Bouchard is one of the most interesting people on the planet.
I'm interested in Jeannie Bouchard.
I could have an 8-hour conversation with Jeannie Bouchard.
You would talk about backhands.
Kate Upton?
Forehands. Yeah,
that's a 30-second conversation. Not interesting to me.
Can't believe I did that.
I'd talking ask her about Justin Upton? Verlander and the Astros winning the World Series. That's what I would talk
is that
about.
That exciting news? She's
Wait,
like, yeah.
Kate Upton isn't interesting to you?
Not at all. Not the least bit interesting.
You have to understand what we're saying.
What is she famous for?
Being very attractive.
Okay.
In magazines.
Not particularly interesting to me. Jeannie Bouchard is a tennis star. She dates John Gerke and guys she meets on Twitter who are normal. Her social media accounts are hilarious. I like her. I want to be her friend. I just want to talk. I want to talk about John Gerke with her.
You want to talk Gerke?
I want to see if she's going to marry John Gerke. I got to get to the bottom of this. I want to ask her if she's going to marry John Gerke or if she's just making us all believe.
I was trying to explain this to my wife, and I used the phrase last time we talked about this, and this is what I really think. This is our royal wedding.
For dudes,
this is why every woman ever was obsessed with it.
I'm telling you.
With the dumb royal wedding. This is our royal wedding.
That's your greatest line in the history of our show. It's your greatest line. It is our royal wedding. Let's get to an update so we can talk to Craig Hoffman live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama next, and we'll see if Dar's booked Jeannie Bouchard for the 1 o'clock hour. In a few moments as well. Grant and Danny on the stand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.